Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, this morning, I want to say a big thank you to you, our God, our Savior, and our King. Thank you for how far you have brought us. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are still doing. And thank you for what you are going to do. We know without a doubt that you are far greater than any other. You are far stronger than any other. And we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And we worship your presence even as we are about to hear from you. We pray that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts. You affect our lives, oh God, that we will not leave this place the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Wow, you may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. We're looking at the anointing. Isn't it? We're looking at the anointing. I want to continue preaching about anointing this morning. I know we all had a very busy couple of months or couple of weeks. Busy few days, busy yesterday, busy Friday. But it's good to still remember that all of this is being done for God. And that when it comes to the time that we have to now come and worship Him, we should not be found wanting in that. Isn't it? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yeah. The Bible said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we want to look at anointing. And Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says that, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might. It's very popular. We know all of that. We say it all the time. We say it when we feel like our strength is gone and we need some supernatural effect in what we want to do. We say it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And it's true. It will not be by your power, by your might. It's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. We cannot accomplish anything without the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we've been talking about. That it takes the Spirit of God to accomplish anything in the kingdom of God. I mean, if it's in school, you just have to study and do your best. You know, if it's in marriage, then you have to, you know, be a nice wife or nice husband. But when it comes to the church and the things of God, it is about receiving or having the anointing. The anointing is a special power and the special glory and presence of God that God himself gives to the people he approves for them to work for him, for them to do exploits in his name. Are you with me? So the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It's very, very interesting that Jesus, you know, is making it known that, you see, my Father, Jesus in his life, he said it a few times, he said, I am the Father, we are one. And Jesus came as a result of love. I hope your eyes are not closing. Okay. I'll give you chicken if you close your eyes. Yeah, as for chicken there, I can promise you. In fact, if you like, I'll give you chicken. Before you go, I'll give everyone chicken. One chicken as you go. Ah, what is chicken? You're tired of chicken. Amen. You see, so Jesus is a sign of love. And God, the Bible says when Jesus was being baptized, that the Spirit of the Lord, the heavens opened. John saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit descended on John, on Jesus, like a dove. And then there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So God's approval on Jesus' life came in the form of the anointing. Isn't it? Because Nicodemus made it also very clear. He said that no man doeth the things that thou doest. There's something that this person cannot do what he's doing except it's a certain approval. Because you cannot, you see, if you are part of a company or you work in a company and you are in finance, you have to be approved by the company to be able to sign in checks. Because there's a lot of money in the company. Because your signature is a very important signature, it makes you understand that the company approves of you. And it's not very easy to allow people to do finance. Yeah, because it's your money now is this is like your phone. You don't give it to people to hold for you before they run away with it. Isn't it, Jeanette? Yeah. So God's approval on Jesus is what made God give Jesus the anointing. Do you get it? Yeah, there was something about Jesus, and that's why last Sunday we were speaking about you have to be desirous. You have to have something in your heart about God and His power and His presence that God will freely give unto you. Because it's God who gives it. But He has to know something. There's something about you that must attract God for God to give you His anointing. Are you with me? You know, so the Bible says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And He went, that's when He was able to go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Because the Bible says, because God was with him. So God being with us is what will help us in the church. So when you want to get married, you have to change your mind that in the kingdom of God, getting married does not come because of your wig. You get it? Those of you who have a lot of wigs. Yeah. No, German wigs. Since Germany scored Brazil, we buy German wigs. No more Brazil. German wigs, I tell you. Yeah. No, you have to get it, ladies and gentlemen, that in the kingdom of God, we do not achieve anything without God's approval that comes in the form of releasing His power, His glory, His presence, His oil upon you. If you are going to live in this kingdom, you will have to live by the rules in this kingdom. If you live in a kingdom and you don't go by the rules of the kingdom, you will not amount to anything. Jesus said that I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you bear much fruit. He said, for without me you can do nothing. But you see, so we can't have Christians, we can't have church leaders, we can't have church workers who think that they can achieve things, they can do things on their own without the approval of God. Now, ask yourself, did Jesus really need God approval when he was here on earth? I mean, Jesus could have just go around and do things. Because he was God in human form. But it's the approval of God that really gave Jesus that anointing. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. Do not leave Jerusalem. And I told you that leaving Jerusalem at that point was a good advice. Yeah, Jesus is dead. He's risen up. There are rumors going around that his body was stolen. So they are looking for the people. I mean, I'm sure that it will be very nonsensical to go around, the soldiers going around spreading rumors that the disciples have come for the body, and then the people are not looking for the disciples to arrest them. Because what are you trying to tell the people? Okay, the disciples they've come for the body, but we ain't able to go for them. No, they can't be free. They can't, you know, they can't thief the body and then go for free. So definitely, there must have been an attempt to show the people that this thing is real, this thing is true. And I've told you before that when you read the Bible, you have to allow the Spirit of the Lord to let you read between the lines. Jewel, you have to read between the lines. It is the reading between the lines that actually augment your understanding of the scriptures. That increases your understanding of the scriptures. So yes, the disciples, you know, they waited for Jesus. Jesus, they waited for the Holy Spirit. But that's not just all. If Jesus really loved the people, naturally, he should have asked them to disappear. Because by the time he goes, he said it. He said, well, strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. So he knew it. So he could have just even added, he said, Peter, please come. I want to advise you personally. Come. I want to advise you. You know what? You know the scripture I gave you? That when they strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter? When I die, please run away. Yeah, Peter, please. You, I love you, so I want to tell you. Where's John? Call John. Let me tell John too. You don't want to be in Jerusalem at that time as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it was evident because even after they started preaching, you can read about the oppositions and attacks. So why do you want to live in Jerusalem at that very time? Especially a day or two after. Man, you have to disappear. But Jesus said, you must stay in Jerusalem. Why? For the promise of my Father. The promise was the Holy Spirit. So it's almost as if Jesus is saying that when you just stay in Jerusalem until you get affected by the Holy Spirit. Because when you get affected or you receive the anointing, nothing can move you. Nothing can displace you. Nothing can stand before nothing. He said, speak to this great mountain. It shall not bow. He said, the mountain can become a plain ground. I saw the Bible, Zechariah was telling Zerubbabel. He said, the mountain you are looking at, he said, it is going to disappear. But it's not going to be by might nor by power. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. Yeah. And that's why it takes something to come to Guyana, not knowing anybody, for you to come and sit down in the church on a Sunday morning. Yeah, it got to be something. It got to be something. Toya, it got to be something. It got to be something. You see, and I also don't want you to have a delusion that, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I tell you, I'm anointed. Completely, totally. Yeah, don't mind the body, mind the engine. There's something inside, working on the outside. Yeah. You should not be deceived or deluded at all that you are dealing with something just a mere. You see, some of you are used to pastors who are not anointed, but you are looking at a different one. I tell you, you're looking at a different one. I'm anointed. I tell you. Yeah. You see, and I was having a little discussion with the Lord the other day about the healing ministry. Yeah. You know, and then it's like this healing thing, you know. Yeah, to do or not to do. And the Lord gave me a clue. And he said that this thing must tell you what will happen if you do it. Yeah. And I said, if it's just this clue, then I understand where you're coming from. Yeah. It's true. I won't tell you the clue, but let me just give you a simple similarity to the clue he gave me. For example, I see here all the time that if I say I want to eat chicken, I want to eat chicken right now, I will get about 10, I'll get chicken. I can have a freezer filled with chicken. I take the freezer and the chicken with me home. One time. But if Jamela here, come Jamela. This Jamela here, nice little beautiful Jamela. If Jamela here says that she hungry, she got to buy it herself. She hungry, she want chicken. Well, sweetheart, you got to find your own chicken. Go to Camp Street, Hing Street. Go get your own chicken. Nobody will mind she. But if I say I want chicken, Ah, a freezer filled with chicken. Ah, canter filled with chicken. Yeah, it tells you what, and this is a clue. It tells you what I can get if I speak something. What my words can achieve if I say it. How far to go. Yeah. And it's not just chicken when it comes to spiritual things, because the authority and the grace is a spiritual thing that has even manifested in the physical. That's what makes physical instructions become followed. You follow physical instructions. That's what the centurion told Jesus. I'm also a man under authority. Yeah, it's a nice clue. Yeah. Yeah. And you must use a clue for yourself also. Yeah. Because I'm sure you're also anointed. Or you don't believe it. Yeah. Anointing is in level, so don't doubt your anointing. Don't doubt the anointing. Do you have here? You have somewhere. You have somewhere. Yeah, some faith, something. You have something. You have something. Don't think that you're not anointed. You are. You get it. But of course, there's a level of it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have some anointing. Now you must believe it. Otherwise, you also can't do the things that you are doing. Are you with me? All right. Now, this morning, I just want to start and introduce to you how you can steps to the anointing. Seven steps to the anointing. Yes, seven steps to the anointing. So you want some steps. You can start on the first one and you can go on the second one. As you go, you are going up, right? Steps to the anointing. Yes, seven steps. I'll preach until you get anointed. Because I know that with our Guyanese self, without oil, the food can't cook well. Jesus said, didn't you need oil to cook the rice yesterday?
A lot of oil.
So if even rice needs oil, how much more you, a living human being, in your life and in your ministry, you need more oil than anything. Yeah. And I need all types of oil. I need oil too. So seven steps to the anointing. Number one, the principle of vessel change. I'm just going to give it to you and then, you know, we'll go deep into them another time. The principle of vessel change. Wow. Yeah. There's a step that can lead you to anointing if your vessel changes. You get it? And the Bible says something here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And 20, verse 20 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right? Can you see? You must see. You need special glasses in this church to see our scriptures. You can see, yeah. Some people have TV, they're looking at a screen. If you have a screen, you're okay. Some people have some books, right? A hard copy. Princes and queens. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel, honor or dishonor. If you purge yourself from, you know, dishonor. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You and I are compared to utensils in somebody's kitchen. Yeah. There are some utensils, you use them when an important person comes around. And there are some utensils, you hardly use them. You have some silver utensils. You have some good quality silver ones and some Chinese silver ones. You have some ladles, you have some spoons that are very plastic. And we have different types of utensils. We even have wood, some wooden things we use in the kitchen. That's what the Bible is talking about. The Bible is saying that you and I are vessels in the house of the Lord. But it says that if somebody who is a vessel will purge himself from dishonor, then that person will become a vessel unto honor. Prepare the meat for the master's use. What the Bible is saying is that you can be used by God if only your vessel can change its state. Yeah. Because your vessel may be a good vessel, or your vessel may be a golden vessel or a diamond vessel, but you really can't use it for certain things. Do you understand? And whether you are a spoon or you are a plate or you are a cup or you are a ladle or you are whatever you are a vessel. The most important is that you are a vessel. And you can be used. Do you get it? But you must become a vessel that God can use. You must become. That's one of the things that you must get as we go along. So the first principle is the principle of vessel change. If you see Coca-Cola, you see Coca-Cola in particular bottles. The bottles you see Coca-Cola in, you don't see Fruta in the same bottles. Yeah, so if you want Coca-Cola, if you want to be on the shelf at the supermarket as a Coca-Cola bottle, then you have to change your plastic can, Fruta can, and metamorphosize into almost a guitar-shaped bottle for that dark, poisonous cocaine something to go into you. You will have to change. You see, if we'll go into vessel change a bit deeper. I just want to take you through the seven quickly if we can. But what we are saying is that sometimes the way you are very angry so quickly, it doesn't make you a good vessel. Do you get it? You get angry too quickly, and it does not help you to be used by God. Yeah, some small something you are angry, and sometimes also because you don't have a heart for people, you can't tolerate people. How can you be used by God when you can't deal with people properly? Ask yourself. I see. That's why the things are unlike in the secular world where your certificate is what gets you to do something. In the church world, it's not like that. Because you don't need to have a heart for patients, but you can be a nurse. And you just do it for the money. You don't have to have the heart to want to teach children, but you can be a teacher. It's not a problem. You only have to go to a teacher training school. You are trained to be a teacher. And then you go into the class, and then you go when you want to go. You don't finish the syllabus. You do lessons on the side because you are not finishing the syllabus. You can be that type of teacher. And nobody can say that you are a bad teacher. But you cannot do that in the presence of the Lord. God will not approve of you and pour oil into you when you're supposed to finish your syllabus and you don't finish it. Because he's a just God, the Bible says. So the vessel must change. You must change for the approval, for the oil, so that you'll be able to be fit for the prepared for every good work. Because good work doesn't come because of whatever you are. The good work comes because the Bible says Jesus went about doing good. So good works in the kingdom comes only by the approval of God and by the anointing. Number two, servanthood. Servanthood. It has been proven over and over again in the Bible. Servants are the ones who receive anointing. Yeah. Up to today, if you cannot position yourself to be a servant, you will not be able to get God's approval. Jesus was a servant. He's called us, we call him the servant king. He came to serve humanity. That's why he was anointed. If you're a boss man. Yeah, where's boss man? Where is he? Yeah. Christians who are proud. They can't do anything. I mean, yeah, you can't serve. You can't do any menial jobs. And then when we get deeper into this, I'll give you signs of a servant. Because sometimes you talk about servant, oh, yeah, no. But you need to know the signs to understand whether these signs, I show the signs or I don't show the signs. Yeah. Because being a servant, you have signs, things that will show that you are indeed a servant. If you are not a servant, you will not be anointed. The Bible says that the disciples, they were servants of Jesus Christ. That's how they were anointed. Elisha, in fact, was referred to as the one who poured water on Elijah's hands. Ask yourself, water to clean your hands, can you not put it on your own hands? Do you need someone to fetch water and pour it on your hands? I mean, no, but is it because the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble? You remember? We did that part. We did it. We taught it for a couple of weeks. Yeah. God resists the proud. And he gives grace. Some of the grace God gives is his approval, is his anointing. He gives grace to the humble. It's only a person who is humble who can be a servant. Big people are not servants. Look at how you didn't come and help barbecue nothing yesterday. Look at how you didn't come and do anything. You're a big lady. You are a diplomatic middle class type of Guyanese Christian. Bourgeoisie. Haiti. You have other important things to do. You don't want to smell smoke. Look at you. And you want God's approval? You're joking. Yeah, there's tennis in your eyes. There's tennis in your eyes. Yeah. No. You can't bring yourself down to sweep. Bring yourself down to fetch some water. Bring yourself back to to put the food in a box and to give it out and collect money. You can't do that. But when a Chinese man comes and says, come, I'll pay you, you go and do it and he'll pay you. Yeah. We are, you see, no matter how you see it, it's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting because, you see, what we do, I always say this thing here. I always say that the things that we refuse or we fight to do in the church is the same things we do outside there. The same things we do out there. It's the same things. Because wherever you work, you are a servant to the boss man. But you think that you think that it's your job and you are this and you are this. No, you are a servant to the person who runs the company or who runs the department where you work. Yeah. Don't be deceived. Yeah. Whatever they tell you to do, you do it. And the only approval you get from them is that they will not fire you. If you change it like that, they will fire you tomorrow, you see. And when they fire you, then you come to the church and say, Pastor, please pray with me. I lost my job. You lose your head also. Lose your head. Yeah. Your greatest enemy is not Satan. It's you. Yeah. That is why Jesus said, deny yourself. Deny me. Deny me. If you want to become my disciple and follow me, deny you. Oh yeah. Yeah, don't deny Satan. Sometimes Satan cries. he cries and says, oh, this one, it's not me. I didn't do nothing. I did me own Ghana. I did me own Ghana. It's you. So you think you're not a servant? You're a servant. Sometimes when you go to these banks around, yeah, the people feel that they are in heaven. Yeah. Jewel, isn't it? And the people feel they're in heaven. Yeah. You see, if my money wasn't there, you won't be working there. It's because of my money. That's why you even have a job there to do in the first place. Yeah. You won't have a job if we were not keeping our monies there. Yeah. The people don't understand that too. It's the same thing with our politicians and all these people. It's a sad case. You see, from the top to the bottom, people are so they have their egos. To be a president, it's a public office. When we say something is public, it means that it's all of us. So don't let somebody call you a public girl, because you're a public girl, there's something else. You are serving the public. Public Works, Ministry of Public Works. Public Works. Yeah. I tell you. All that they're doing. You see, but that's the thing. We don't get it, that servanthood is a very gracious place to be. Because we have voted for them to be where they are. It's our man. Pippin Tom said something. I agree with him. Yeah, Pippin Tom said something. When these duty-free concession vehicles issues came up, Pippin Tom is saying that, why is it that a minister has been assigned an official vehicle which already attracts duty-free concession? Why would that minister also get another duty-free concession on his own private vehicle? I agree. It doesn't make sense. Then you won't get a vehicle assigned to you by the government. You see, the money from the government is our money. It's people's money. And they don't learn to treat people's things well. So they are enjoying two times. That's why you see members of parliament who are supposed to serve us, they are the ones driving the better cars. They are the ones who are the more. But the thing is our money. There's nothing wrong in driving better cars. I've told you that if you want me to live long, you should make me sit in a new car. Don't let me drive a car that when I get into an accident on the road, when I die, you backslide. I tell you, when I die, that boy who has been chasing you will come and take you and have sex with you. I tell you, when I die, when your pastor is no more, the Bible says a light that goes off. So the car that I drive, you must be happy that, hey, my at least when it comes to accident, my pastor will survive. Yeah, airbags all over the place to cushion the shock. You want a pastor to drive an old car so that when I get into an accident, when I'm going to drive, take my children to school, then in the middle of the road, a car stop. I have to get up and open the bonnet and water. And there's smoke coming out of the car. And then you are passing by. So, that's my pastor. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame. Yeah, you get it. So you are servant. Wherever we must have that servant spirit. God has a certain love and attraction towards people who are humble. Yeah. So that's why Jesus began to wash his disciples' feet. Yeah. Peter said, No, please, no. You are a big man. You can't do that. He said, Hello. If you don't allow this, you are not part of it. Okay, but wash, bath me. Because he didn't even understand that thing that Jesus was doing, it was to send a certain signal and something to them. Any greatest great leaders leads by seven. Number three. We'll go deeper next time. Don't worry. Yeah. Number three, receiving a father. You can be anointed by receiving the man of God as your father. As your father. Not your biological father, not your father-in-law. Because me, it will not be easy for me to be your father-in-law. You wouldn't like me at all. So you should watch it. Just in case you are praying that, I want to be a pastor's son-in-law. You don't know what you are dreaming about. don't go on a wild goose chase. Yeah. Cry. So when you are thinking, when you are desiring things, you should desire the right kind of things. Is it epithymio? You remember? Epithymio. Right. Okay. When you receive the man of God as a father, there's a certain approval that comes for the man of God who's anointed to you. Because fathers and their children, they take care of their children. You see, like my children, sometimes they don't understand why they can't come home by themselves. Sometimes they say, oh, daddy, can I? When my Lois was going to start lessons, then that's when she had an opportunity to request whether she cannot go by herself. You get it? Because it's an opportunity to break out and become independent, right? It's like a bird. Every animal breaks out. That's why if you are still staying with your mother and you are big, you something wrong with you. Animals break away when they are giving birth. That's a principle God gave to animals, including us, Homo sapiens. Yeah, at a point in your life, you break out. It's only human beings who are able to break out. Birds, they break out. Snakes, they break out. Everything, they break out. It's you. You marry, you want to still stay with your mother and your father. Something wrong. You must break out. Yeah. So they said, can I not go? I said, oh, it's from, from school. I have some classmates who also work there. I said, girl, as long as I'm alive, I'll pick you and I'll drop you. Yeah. Some people are praying for drops. They can't get. We say that some people want, they don't get. Some people get, they don't want. It's true. Yeah. I said, don't worry, I will drop you. I'll pick you up. It's only a father who will do that to their child. Because me too, it will also ease me up. If I just send a taxi for you, or I say, now walk with this, your friend, get the cell phone, and then I'll call and see if you are safe. And I'm relaxing somewhere, doing something that I also want to do. It will also ease me up. It's not like I don't have anything to do. But it is a certain thing with a father and a child that makes a father, or that makes a parent, put himself or his in that position so that the child will become. It's the same thing with anointing. If you're a real child of a man of God, then he also goes through certain things, including that which has made him who he is. He gives it to you. He releases it. It comes from him. It comes to you. The same way. Same way. But you have to learn to position yourself just like the children. Yeah. All they need to do is that. I need this. You see, sometimes they make me like, when they go to school, then they forget their book. And then when you are there, then the phone rings. You see, Timotina. When Timotina calls, she doesn't have a cell phone, but I can feel that it's her. I tell you, from St. Rose's calling. Yeah. She's looking at me. Yeah. She calls. She takes it. She borrows someone, and she calls. I don't pick up because she knows I don't pick up strange numbers. And then she'll call again. If I don't pick up, she'll call again. I was like, oh, it's her. Yeah. And she said, Daddy, I forgot my notebook. Building technology. So I should, a big man like me, I should carry myself. Something. 11 o'clock when I am doing something important. It's the period after lunch. It's like, you got to get up, come give me my book now, I need it. Before lunch. Last time, she needed what? A drawing paper also. It's big. Is it the graph paper, right? Sketch paper. It's big, the big one. And she told me even the color she wants. Yeah. Yeah. You say it's a color. So, it's when I was dropping her, that's when she was telling me. Calvin. So Yeah. So I said, all right. When I bought it and I took it to the school, then the guy told me, oh, you know how many times they've been asking, this person has been asking for this card paper. I said, lady, shut your mouth. Keep it eye going. Don't tell me how many times she has come to ask. Like, I just dare, I'm a taxi driver or something. I just drive around the place. Yeah. Huh? Oh. You see, you that's the thing. It's like you give, because he's a child, you do it. You go that way. Yeah, you go that way. Yeah. Because he's my child. Because they are my child, they become children to me. So my body spray is finished. My deodorant. And this. I need this. I need that. I need this. I tell you, I'm a bank, I'm a water, I'm everything. I'm a driver, I'm a everything. I tell you. Yeah. Yeah. And Joshua, when I use Albert Street, there's a place called Yog Yogs. He has seen it on TV. So when I use Albert Street, heading south, and we see Yog Yogs, daddy, 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 Yog Yogs. I say, not today, not today. Yog Yogs. The other day, I took them there. Come and see excitement. Yeah. You know, Yog Yogs, where you go, you fetch the ice cream yourself. So when you press it, then it's coming. I said, this is not water, okay? Because you pay by the ounce. And then they put your hand in the other. I said, shh, not water, okay? By the time you get to the counter, it's a very fantastic, you know, the way the ice cream is 840. You say, hey! And they go for toppings. The toppings make the thing heavier. Hey, we are Guyanese, so we are not used to these fancy things, you know. Give me ice cream and I go. Come there, go and serve yourself. Apple, cinnamon, something we don't even know what it is. When you see, so okay, this one. By the time you get there, you are buying the whole box of ice cream. Yeah. But I'm saying that you can receive also that which a father has. When you are like a child to him. That's all that I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And it goes for those of you who have not known fathers. You don't know how to relate to a man. You don't know. You must know. You are as big as you are. You've never really experienced fatherhood. And therefore you struggle. You should just ask. Somebody was asking me, I try, I want to communicate, I do the text, and I as I'm going to press, and I say, I do delete, and I wonder whether this text is appropriate. I say, girl, you are thinking too much. Yeah. Just send it. Send it. Press send. Yeah. Send. I have had church members who have said all kinds of, I know, you can't, you see, we are trained differently. We have, their backgrounds are different. You cannot learn how to relate with me now. It's not a simple thing. Your background and my background are completely different. How I want my things and how you want are completely different. Now you have to now leave your things and satisfy me. It's not a simple thing. It's very difficult. So you have to start somehow, somewhere. Yeah. Like I said, one church member came. We were talking. I was counseling the person right where I'm standing. And then we're talking. And then she said, you mad? Yeah, right here. And then when she said that, she did. I said, don't worry, it's okay. Because I know that I'm not mad. Am I mad? I'm not mad. Yeah. Apostle Joel told me something some time ago. You know, he said he was preaching in a church. And then from the stage. You see, when our stage goes up, you should be careful. Because even as the stage is low, some of your clothes are outside. Mm-hmm. So once the stage goes up, you're going to be far lower. So you have to know how to sit. Do you get it? Because if you don't sit well, the man of God will fall under the power on the stage. Hey! Yeah. Anointing, the power will be too strong that it will floor him. No, it's true. So Apostle Joe was telling me something similar. He said that he was preaching in a church and something similar happened. And he said he was just about to tell, hey, young lady, sit up. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, oh, by you, do you know her? Do you know where she's from? Do you know her background? Do you know whether she has even been taught how to sit before? You say you're a pastor, you won't just correct everybody. He said, can you not handle it? Can you not just preach without looking around? What's your problem? He said, then he did not go into it. I mean, so if you are going to relate with a man of God, there are a lot of things that you may not do well, but that's not what it's about. It's not about what you say and what you wouldn't say. So, because some of you, yes, you send me a message, say, good morning. I like those ones. Good morning, Rev. And then I said that when I get a text message, I get confused. So I said, what should I say? Should I also say, good morning? All right. Then I say, okay, good morning. Then, how are you? And you know, I've told you that when you ask me, how am I? You don't know, you don't have an idea what you are asking. Because if I tell you that I don't have money, will you give me money? If I don't have food, me get food for me children and me wife, are you going to give me food? So, don't ask. You say, oh, just go, so I believe you are well. Yes, I'm always well. Don't say, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm blessed. That's the silence. Next day, good morning. As for some people, every morning I get a picture of my WhatsApp. Monday blessings. God bless it. When I see it, I say, oh Lord, I forgot that this is Monday. Tuesday blessings. Wednesday blessings. Thursday prayer. Friday shower of blessings. Every day I get an image about a day from a particular church member. Am I going to tell her that? Please stop sending me this thing. I won't say that. That's her way of communicating. And she doesn't have anything to say, just to send images. That's all. It's okay. I either save it or I delete it. Yeah, or I keep it. Or maybe I also forward it to somebody. Have a Monday blessing. Hey, freely have you received. Freely give. So don't think about, just be a child. If you're going to be a child, my children, they do all kinds of things. Because they are my children. Ah, yeah. Because they are my children. All kinds of things they do. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Are you here? Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Must pay attention. Yeah. If you have children and you really have a certain heart, you see how it is. It's not a simple thing. Yeah, you wish they would go this way, but they go, but you still love them. You still do what you have to do for them. Yeah. But it is special when the children do exactly what you want them to do. It's different. It's very, very different. But you see, you'll be surprised that this principle even does not necessarily demand that you do something at a certain level, but just that you become a child. That's all. Because it's very difficult for a father to pass on his inheritance to his children and say, this other one, don't give him anything. It's very, I think it's rare. They might not give them a certain, value of inheritance, but they will not leave them out. They will get something. That's how the anointing is. Even you may not be at your utmost best, but because you are just a child already, you get something. You get something. You will get something. So you once you are a child to the man of God who is anointed, you may not get Benny Hinn's anointed, but you will get something that will help you in your life and your ministry. You will get something. You will get something. Ladies and gentlemen, you get something. My time is up. Let's go home. We're having barbecue this afternoon, you know, so we got to get ready. Isanisha, please bring your orders. Let's stand. My time is up. Where's your legs? Where's your legs, Doris? Tired? Hey. Let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for teaching us. I know our lives will indeed never be the same again. Thank you for the anointing that's upon our lives. In Jesus' name. You are here this morning. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here for the first time or somebody invited you to church. You've been coming for a while, but you know deep down in your heart that if you were to die right now, you would not go to heaven. You know it. Yeah, in fact, you don't even know where you would go if you were to die right now. There's a heaven and there's a hell. If you want to go to heaven, there's a prayer you must pray. If you want to go to hell, you don't have to do anything. But if you want to go to heaven, then you must be prayed for. Then you must say the sinner's prayer. You must give your heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand wherever you're standing, and I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. But I'm not sure right now. Please pray with me. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. Just your right hand up high, and I'll do that. Pastor, please. Pastor, please pray with me. Father, we give you praise for everyone that is saved. In Jesus' name, and the church said,
we believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.